The Quarter Pounder with Cheese had many great things. Maple-flavored griddle cakes isn't one of them. McDonald's breakfast comes first. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Addressing the Irish Hospital Consultants Association recently, a leading economist, Dr. Brian Turner, compared the health service capacity challenges in Ireland to climbing Skellig Michael. From problems with recruitment to bed capacity, Paul Reid's successor is going to have a difficult job. Well, I'm joined on the line by the aforementioned economist and lecturer at Cork University Business School, Dr. Brian Turner. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, the extraordinary thing about what you've been saying is that on several metrics, the Irish health system does very well in comparison with other members of the OECD. But then on the key metrics, we fail.
Yeah, I suppose just looking at the latest OECD figures, which are from 2019, which is probably a good base from which to go, because it was pre-pandemic and it gives us a kind of a truer picture of where we were. So on that basis, the number of beds, hospital beds per capita here is significantly below the OECD average. And while our doctor numbers per capita they're fairly close to the OECD average, we have quite a significant shortage of specialist doctors. So that's something we need to address quite quickly. And the other interesting thing, and I suppose related to that, is that while we have the highest number of medical graduates per capita across the OECD, we also simultaneously have the third highest proportion of foreign trained doctors working in our health system. So we're obviously not retaining the doctors that we're training. So I think these are factors that we need to get a grip on in order to make sure that we have the capacity going forward.
Now, as an economist, you look at the nuts and bolts, the money end of things. We do spend a huge amount of money between what comes directly from government in, you know, our taxation and what we pay in health insurance ourselves. And of course, there's a large section of private medicine where people pay for either their own GP or their own consultant. We're pouring massive money into the health service.
I suppose in one respect we are. I mean, our spending at the moment relative to other international economies is fairly good. But I suppose what we need to take into account is that we underspent for decades from kind of the 70s through the 80s into the 90s. So we're still playing catch up to a certain extent on that. And I mean, you know, our demographics to a certain extent were in our favour over a number of years. But now what we're seeing is that the Irish population is ageing faster than most other countries in Western Europe as well. So that obviously has implications in terms of demand for health services, because on average, older people will need more treatment. So that's something that, again, we need to plan for over the coming years.
But on the capital side, obviously we pour money, and sometimes stupidly and unwisely, the way we plan the National Paediatric Hospital, it costs maybe three times what it should have cost. So on the capital side, we may be pouring money in, we're not getting bangs for our buck. But on the current spending side, we're spending a huge amount of money. And yet that day-to-day business, which involves people and diagnostic machinery and so on, is not delivering.
Exactly. And so this comes back to the capacity issue. So we're increasing the capacity slowly, but we need to increase it quite sharply now over the next few years. I mean, if you look at the capacity projections in Sláinte Care, for example, which is our kind of roadmap, as it were, for the health system over the next few years, I mean, Sláinte Care called for a 20% increase in hospital beds, 20% increase in consultant numbers, and a 48% increase in the primary care workforce. Now, the ESRI has been doing some modelling over the last couple of years, which suggests that actually even what the Sláinte Care report has called for won't actually be enough to cater for demand into the future. So the ESRI is suggesting somewhere between 3,200 and 5,600 additional hospital beds, for example, compared with the 2,600 called for under Sláinte Care and the Health Service Capacity Review. So that's something that we need to kind of, I suppose, relook at those projections. And I mean, one of the interesting things about the Health System Capacity Review is that it was based on projections of population that suggested that by 2021 we'd have just under 5 million population, and by 2026 we'd have just over 5.1. know, the CSO has already released the preliminary figures from this year's census from April, and we're almost already at the 2026 forecast population under the health system capacity review. So we're likely to exceed that quite significantly by 2026.
Well, you've got to look at the ageing population. They're not going to have any more kids. But of course, there's a huge influx of immigrant population who are going to have lots of kids, one presumes.
Well, absolutely. I mean, our population is growing from both the migration and the fertility side of things. So the CSO looks at two different scenarios, two different aspects, and runs different scenarios on those. So both sides are showing population increases.
Now, the problems with capacity, you've got to build the infrastructure, that's capital spending, and then you've got to people the infrastructure, which goes into current spending. What do we need to do, Brian? I mean, it's great to analyse the problem and see the capacity shortage, the shortage of specialists, consultants and so on. But how do you address it?
Absolutely. And I suppose the Sláinte Care and Health Service Capacity Reviews reports suggested where we need to be. But I suppose one of the issues in terms of the capital spending is we need to set aside more budget for that. So between the time the Sláinte Care was published in the first half of 2017 and the first half of this year, tender prices, the tender price index from the Society of Chartered Surveyors in Ireland has increased by almost 50%. So the costs are increasing quite rapidly. Now, part of that is down to the fact that our construction sector was hollowed out after the financial crisis, and it hasn't really been built back up again since. So the number of people working in the construction sector at the moment is about just over half what it was in 2007. Yet we have a housing crisis and we have a massive public infrastructure program that we need to get through. So that we need to kind of, I suppose, it needs a whole of government approach to try and encourage more people into trades to try and build up the construction sector.
But that 2007,
to be able to deliver the capacity.
Brian, that 2007 figure was it was part of the bubble because we had lots of people coming in from Eastern Europe to build stuff that we didn't actually need at the time.
Absolutely, but I suppose we're down to just over half of that now. So where we need to be is probably somewhere in between those two figures. So there's certainly a shortage of construction workers at the moment. So I suppose that's on the capital side. The other issue then is the recruitment of the medical workforce. And I suppose in that regard, again, there have been reports over the last couple of years suggesting that we're going to have quite a significant shortage of both doctors and nurses right across the OECD in the coming years. So in terms of our recruitment, we're operating in a very competitive international marketplace now for medical talent. So again, we need to kind of think holistically about how we kind of train our medical workforce and how we retain them as well. Now, obviously, you know, there are issues in terms of pay structures and the unwinding of some of the FEMPI measures as well. But it's not all about money. It's also about working conditions. So we need to make sure that the Irish health system is a good place to work. Now, I suppose in that regard, I was very encouraged at the start of the pandemic by the response to the Beyond Call for Ireland initiative, which suggests that there is a lot of goodwill out there among people who've trained in Ireland to come back and work in Ireland if the conditions
are
right.
They screwed up that scheme too. People came back and, you know, looked to get work and weren't given work.
Well, yeah, I suppose there were emergency issues going on at the time, but I think if the HSE wants to try and recruit the capacity that they need, they need to really look at that and try and harness that goodwill that was shown by people at the start of the pandemic.
Yeah. The question is, you bring people in, whether they're Irish people returning or if they're nurses from the Philippines, for example, or Kerala province in India, or, you know, who often migrate here via the Middle East where they work in the best hospitals imaginable. And the question is, where will they live when they come here? Can they afford to live on what the HSE is prepared to pay?
Yeah, exactly. And again, this comes back to the construction sector capacity. So, I mean, we have a housing crisis at the moment. So, again, as part of the holistic solution to the health system, we also need to increase the capacity in the construction sector, which will hopefully benefit the housing market as well. I mean, obviously, as you say, at the moment, we have a fairly significant crisis in our housing capacity. So that's something that we need to work on. So in order to try and, you know, give the capacity to the health system that it needs, we need a whole of government approach, and we need a wider, more holistic solution to all of this.
Yeah. Back in the boom days, I used to make the remark that we had huge numbers of Eastern European workers here, building workers, building houses for Eastern European workers to live in.
Yeah, I suppose there is that. I mean, obviously, you know, if we increase capacity in the construction sector, then that by definition will increase the demand for construction as well. So I suppose it's a case of trying to balance the two and ensure that we get the capacity in both in housing and in the health system that we need.
Mm. So there's no magic bullet here. I mean, your analysis is understandable, and I think the HSE, Sláintecare, they all kind of share the analysis that mistakes were made. Dr. Brendan Drum was the one who famously said we didn't need more hospital beds. He was wrong. But that mistake, compounded over the years by other mistakes, has got us into a situation where you get the best of attention once you end up in the system being treated, but it's all the waiting lists, all the gatekeepers at A&E, all the chaos that greets people that leaves them deeply unhappy with the way we're running the show.
Absolutely, and there is an international report that comes out every couple of years, the Health Consumer Index, which looks at health systems across Europe, and it does suggest that very thing, that it's the access is where we fall down. So we're ranked last in terms of Europe in terms of the access to the health system. So as you say, once people get into the health system, the quality of care is very good. It's the access is the key. And if we don't build up capacity at the rate that we need, then that's actually only going to go in one direction. And I've probably been depressing enough already.
Yeah. So Brian, the one answer we don't have is how. How do you do all this? How do you get more builders in if you've no place to house them? How do you persuade doctors to stay when half the reasons they give for leaving are conditions that they have to work under, you know, too few staff? So they leave, fewer staff. Less attractive even for those remaining to stay.
Absolutely, and it is going to be a very significant challenge over the coming years to try and right this. But I suppose that's why I'm saying we need a kind of a whole of government approach in terms of trying to attract more people into to trades, to try and increase the construction sector, trying to attract people in to bolster that construction sector, while obviously not putting more pressure on the needs for housing. Also increasing our training places for doctors and nurses at university level, also trying to improve the conditions within the hospital. So again, there's a little bit of chicken and egg situation going on there, in that at the moment things are quite chaotic in some areas of the health service. If we don't attract more people in, it's only going to get more chaotic. So we're going to have to try and attract people in to a chaotic system to try and help to make it less chaotic, to attract more people in. So it is definitely going to be a challenge, and I certainly don't envy whoever takes over the reins at the HSE post Paul Reid. So.
Dr. Brian Turner, economist and lecturer at Cork University Business School. Brian, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.